And we're back. I think we're back. This is Data Report. And we have on the line Mr. Eric Wahlberg. Are you there, Eric?
Hello, Phil.
How are you doing?
Good.
Eric, you're going to be talking Wednesday, the 31st, at a different book list, 777 Bathurst. Doors open at 6:30. And I assume you're going to be there. And the talk will be about 7 o'clock. Title is based on you have a new book, The Canada-Israel Nexus. Is that right?
That's right.
I should tell our listeners, you're a veteran journalist. You worked in the region. I was very impressed. You've written for Al Aram.
That's right. And, Egyptian, the largest English language paper in the Arab world.
That's the equivalent of saying that you worked at the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. Now, as I understand it, you are making the point that the experience of Canada, the colonization, taking the territory and this type of government based on British colonialism, is like that of the state of Israel, except Israel is an accelerated form, if I get that. Is that right?
That's right, yes. Really, Canada starts to really become colonized in the 17th century, 16th, 17th century, Israel, really, it only started in the 1890s. There were Jews up to that point living peacefully, but the whole idea of creating a state, a Jewish state, was only something that was founded at the end of the 19th century. So that really telescoped into 70 years what really took place over a period of about 300 or 400 years in Canada.
And the experience, even though it was accelerated, is very much is analogous, right?
It's analogous. The treatment of the natives was quite different, and actually I have to deal with the United States as well, because Canada and U.S. are really British North America. So
yes,
if we're looking at that experience versus in the Middle East, of course, it's very different, because the natives were they had no alphabet here in North America and were living a much simpler life without any technology, and almost not Stone Age, but very simple lifestyle. Whereas the Palestinians were part of a very sophisticated culture that
and also had been part of that long colonial experience. I mean, they had been under the Turks, the Ottomans, etc., and had very developed societies. Right?
Yes. Well, in fact, I wouldn't even say that. The Turks, the more I research, the more I realize the truth that imperialism is at the highest form of capitalism. That's Lenin. We really have to think of that. That's not the Ottoman Empire by any means. The imperialism I'm talking about is really the accelerated form of capitalism, the most aggressive form of. So you have to keep capitalism in the back of your mind. That's not part of the. So that is the difference. Also, the Muslim societies weren't capitalist. They had a trading. They were literacy, but they lived also simple lives, and it was not a high tech society. The high technology comes in with the Industrial Revolution and then the warlike culture of the West that was always producing new technology. So that's the big difference. So the Palestinians and the Canadian natives, they share the same kind of disadvantage that way of aggressive, powerful, high tech. Britain was high tech in the 19th, even 18th century, you know, comparatively. So that it makes a very compelling comparison that I found, and I think it's been there, but no one has really pointed it out. And I think it really just makes it easier to understand where Zionism is coming from. Our own ideology of capitalism is really very similar and aggressive imperialism. So it's helped me understand my mentality. And also it's made me start to look at the history from the native point of view. We're not taught that in schools. I'm astounded when I look now that the real history is of these people and living in a kind of Eden, and then being dispossessed and torn apart. So That's our. We have so many bones in our own closet, yes, basement that it makes it. That's part of the struggle to overcome this. Then is to for both the Israelis and the Canadian, that have dispossessed to confront.
Well, one pattern a layman would know about is that all the principal treaties and pledges have been violated in both places.
Yes, actually, but that's the trouble. There were no treaties. The British didn't actually try to divide up. They just thought they were keeping the pressure cooker from exploding. They didn't really have time to do any long term planning. And then when the end came after World War II, of course they were working around the clock, you could say there. And then afterwards, they were falling apart, so they weren't in any position to really impose anything. So Israel basically there was this UN resolution that the British just passed it off, but it was very flimsy, and the war that was everyone was expecting, because the Jews just kept coming and dispossessing, and it was getting more and more violent. So really, it kind of fell apart, yes. Whereas Canada, at least Britain, slowed down the American Revolution, which was really all about disposition.
Well, it created a problem for them. They went from being an asset to being a headache.
Oh, they weren't an asset. They were never an asset, the Jews moving into the Middle East. And that's the fallacy today, that they're an asset to the U.S. Well, Why would the Arab countries be? They would love to have good relations with the U.S. and with Europe. They like to develop and live in peace, so they don't need this headache. So they turn against the West as well. The West creates its own enemies by supporting this whole venture.
Yeah, we're speaking to Eric Wahlberg. Eric is going to be speaking at 777 Bathurst Wednesday. The 31st at 7 o'clock, and it's launching the new book, Canada-Israel Nexus. You know, Eric, when I read the title, and I have not yet finished the book, but I was struck by something that I remember Moshe Dayan liked to talk about his way of dealing with criticism from the U.S. of Israeli policies was to say, well, we're doing what you did.
Yeah,
and the matter, he was fascinated with that. He worked on that line of thought quite a bit.
But then what we have to do is turn that right around and say, yes, and we finally woke up and saw that this is not the way people should be treated.
And he would say, so you corrected that, right?
Well, and you can't go ahead and do that today, what we did, and we're trying to correct it. We're trying to make up to the natives, and you've got to do the same with your natives and make peace.
Yes. Now I think it's a very interesting paradox. I should just say, Eric, we're very glad you're going to be giving this talk, and I wish you well with the book. The book will be there and available?
Yes. It's just south of Bloor as well. It's right at Bloor and Bathurst.
Yes, it's a great location.
And, I'll have – there will be books there. We've got them in. The orders have come in, so people will be able – and I'll bring my earlier books. Two people can have a look at what this is really volume four of. But I mean, it's like a case study of postmodern imperialism.
Yeah.
But I really should have subtitled it.
Yeah. Well, we thank you very, very much. Look forward to seeing you on Wednesday.
Great. Thanks, Phil.
Okay, dog.
See you
Eric
then.
Wahlberg.
Okay, dog.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.